Welcome in. You have the best seat in the house for the Utah Jazz. This is the front row, and I am your host, Holly Rowe. Hi. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
We're so excited to have you.
Glad to be back.
Good to be back. So last time we talked, it was earlier in the season, and there's been a reset. I was just kind of looking through topics and questions, and December, January, winning record, the feeling is optimistic. And then there's been a reset, but talking to Jay-Z and Ryan Smith, there's a reason. Being a 500 team is not good enough. This is a championship level operation.
Right.
So how do you as a coach in this night in and night out operate with the reset?
Yeah, it's, I'm not going to lie. There's moments where it's hard because I have plenty of perspective in between the games. Like right now talking to you, I have plenty of perspective about where we are as a team. Ultimately, we're trying to hang a banner in the Delta Center. We want to win a championship. And, I recognize that we're not there in this moment, that we're still growing as a group. But in the games, I have zero perspective. And when there's 18,000 people in the Delta Center and, we're all competitors first and we want to win every game, you want to win every possession, it's hard because I have moments where, I feel like my job is to always push the team. I never want them to think that losing is okay. I never want losing to go numb on anyone. Like, it should hurt. You should feel badly when you lose. But then it's about sort of picking up the pieces in between the games and saying, okay, well, here's an area that we have improved, or here's an area that you really need to address, whether it's individually or as the team. Like, this is an area that we have to really put under a magnifying glass and say, like, we've got to improve here. It's a process to kind of sift through all those emotions because even if we play well and the young players play well and they're showing signs of growth, and Keyonte and Taylor and Bryce and Walker, and these guys are like, they are growing, and Lowry is still growing. You see those things and it may feel good, but when I'm driving home and we just lost the game, like, I feel terrible. And so I have to kind of go through a mental and emotional sort of processing after every game to sift through that, sift through the competitive emotions, and then get to a place of having some perspective on, like, where we are, what's real, what's not. But it's why, you have a staff and you have a bunch of people that you work with that are able to continue to help you shed some light on those things. I'm not gonna lie, there's moments where it's really hard.
So one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you right now and have you on was because I do think there's this emotional roller coaster that the fans are on with you, right? Like, we all want to win. That's what fans are. They're fanatical, right? But I do want to, I'm a glass half full person, and I want to get to these pieces that we see that will be important. So you're trying to lay a foundation right now for the championship, right?
Right.
So let's get to the foundational pieces. Do you think that's a healthy place to live in? Is that cool?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. My foundational piece number one, Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah.
So we have seen some great growth from him in the 2 years he's been here in Utah. I want to talk about what has he done this season, even recently, that you're like, that's really, really good, and he's got to get to this. Can you just really break it down?
Yeah, I think the area of growth I've been happiest with Lauri is he's recognizing opportunities to isolate and to use his size and his physicality. Last year, we didn't do very much of that, where playing against a switch, he was way more playing kind of like sprint slip out into space and using his height and shooting over the top. And we've made a concerted effort this year to try to get him in some spots where, against some switches, he's going to the nail, the elbow, the mid post, and he's demanding the ball. It's probably a little unnatural for Lauri. That's not been his role since he's been in the NBA. Somebody that, when a switch happens, they think it's about them, and like, they start demanding of their teammates to get the ball. And I think he's made a really big step in that area. The first part is always recognizing those situations. And I think that's the part that I'm happiest with. What's next is continuing to grow within those situations, like his footwork, his physicality before the catch, shooting over the top sometimes. There have been kind of flashes where you see it and you're like, yes, that's it. But it's not going to happen immediately where like he has success, he does it correctly a couple of times in a game, and then it just takes off from there. It's still going to be a learning process for him, going through some success and failure in those moments.
Yeah, I've heard other people on different platforms talk about he's got to learn how to create his own offense, but I think it's more than that. It's you've got to help him create his own offense. You do some great stuff at the nail. I love that, because one recent game I saw him, there's a saying in football, you can be the hammer or you can be the nail.
Mm-hmm.
He was the hammer on a couple mm-hmm. of possessions where he's not just absorbing the contact, he's delivering the contact. Mm-hmm. And I was literally like, that's what I need from Lowry. He's got to be the hammer. Mm-hmm. Is that a good way to describe that?
Yeah, I think Lowry's big and he's strong. I think the thing that he's working on right now is how to create leverage. Being big and strong is one thing, but knowing how to use your strength. Lowry's always battling to play lower. He's battling to play a little bit wider at times, like using his base and his legs to play a little bit wider. But yeah, I agree with you. I think those moments where he's uses his physicality initially are what we need from him. It's not always physicality to go all the way to the basket either. Sometimes it's physicality to make somebody have to brace up and be on their heels, and then your height comes into play because they brace up, they can't play vertically anymore, and then you just shoot over the top. End of games, when it slows down, fourth quarter, winning time, as people would say, or like the playoffs, those types of baskets become massive. The threes and layups thing is great over the course of like the regular season, and you could do it kind of in like 38, 40 minutes of a playoff game maybe, but like it just slows down and gets physical. And so I'm trying to help Lowry prepare for those moments as well.
I like what you're saying though, is getting lower though, so his leverage is mm-hmm. his power base. Mm-hmm. This is super weird, but when I watch them do warm-ups, you know, and they all do this little stretching thing, Walker's hips are super flexible, and okay. he and Lowry will be by each other sometimes in these drills, and Lowry's are not as flexible. So I'm just going to put out there, I think we need some hip flexibility work there.
Yeah, right? I mean, there's work that these guys do every day, but, you know, they're all human beings that have, some of them have some physical limitations, even
Everyone's
as great of athletes
different.
As they are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, the work they do with our performance team is pretty amazing. Like the routines these guys have every single day.
Diligent.
Are extensive.
Yeah. But I mean, I just want you to know why I'm paying attention in warm-ups.
Okay.
To the hip situation. Okay. The other piece of him, he's obviously number one on the scouting report. Teams are being much more physical with him this year, but it's not just when he has the ball. Mm-hmm. I have thought that some of his struggle, you know, games where he's been, struggle's the wrong word, slower to get going, it's the cuts. Like, they are so physical on every cut, every step, anywhere. They don't want him to get anywhere on the floor. Mm-hmm. How are you helping him navigate that and work through that better?
Yeah, we're working on a lot of different techniques to free himself up. Lowry's not the first player that's been guarded like that. You know, I think he's continuing to work on his conditioning, too. Like, that can be a superpower for a great player, is that you don't get worn down by that, because it takes a lot of energy to be a top player in this league, the way you're guarded and you are bumped and hit everywhere. But he's working on some different techniques for how to get people's hands off of him. He's looking to recognize timing a little bit better about when to take off for a screen and when to wait and set up. You know, those things are happening very quickly, but this year we have seen the physicality with Lowry take a big jump. And I would say for the majority of the season, like, he's handled himself great and he's still been very productive. You know, we've just got to continue to help him with some strategies for how to deal with different, not just types of coverages, but different types of players guarding him. You know, sometimes you see teams put kind of bigger, longer players on him. Sometimes you see teams put stronger, bulkier, maybe not as tall,
but that are up in him and makes it harder for him to get down and operate.
Yeah. So he's working on all those things. Mm-hmm. And I think he is getting better at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, we're talking about a guy who 18 months ago, 19 months ago, like the team he's on, they're not really running much for him. He's just sort of playing off of everybody else. And he comes here and very quickly sort of becomes the focal point. And I don't think that people, I think as much that as Lowry's been talked about, I don't think people give him enough credit for how hard that is. And the productivity and the efficiency with which he's played through that transition is actually remarkable.
It's remarkable. And listen, we're not criticizing in any way. We're like, what's next? What can fans dig into to keep their eye on what's next? But I think your point's amazing. He's gone from being one type of player over here, you know, maybe a catch and shoot space or whatever, third or fourth guy on the team, to the number one option defensively, offensively. Like, it's crazy how far he's come. It is so cool.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun to talk through kind of the mental parts of that too. It's a different weight. I think Lowry feels a different responsibility when he goes to the gym every day. I think he takes losses harder when we lose and he feels like he could have done more. You know, there's a heavy burden on players that are the top guy on a team. And I think, you know, dealing with that part is just as important as dealing with the technical get lower, get wider, you know, use your physicality. Those things are very important, but the mental part of it is just as important.
He strikes me as someone who likes that challenge, though, that he takes great pride in being really good at everything he does.
Yeah, Lowry's a deep thinker. He's very hard on himself. I think part of my responsibility with Lowry is to free him up a little bit and help him learn how to give himself some grace. Because he does take it hard. He is a perfectionist. He's just so detail-oriented, and he wants to know the right answer to everything. You know, I've said this before, like, I have to be careful what I say to Lowry in a game, having gotten to know him, because sometimes he can take me very literally, and I have to be cautious about my messaging to him in a game, understanding his personality and kind of the perfectionist part of him, that I don't burden him and make him tight and make him overthink every little thing he's doing and every read that he's making because of something that I said to him during a game. So I try my best to coach Lowry in between the games. And then in the game, it's little things here and there. But mostly in the game, I'm trying to help him manage the mental part and help him recognize kind of what's going on around him with the team.
That's beautiful. Okay, I know I got to go faster because there's a lot of guys I want to get to. My next foundational piece, I don't know how you feel about this, but Keyonte, like, he just seems like this bright spark of the future. And maybe I'm wrong, but you have a talent I've noticed so far as a coach, and you use this word a lot, of helping players find their superpower and putting everything into that and like be great at this. Give me Keyonte's superpower right now, and what will you want it to be working towards to the future?
I think his superpower right now is his understanding and his kind of spatial awareness. Keyonte sees the game. He knows when things are out of place. He knows when teammates are out of place. He knows when the spacing was incorrect. He knows when our execution was flawed. He knows when he made the wrong read, when, oh, the ball should have gone there, not there. It's why his passing has stood out so much for us. Like, he's thrown some passes this year that for a rookie are, like, amazing. And so I think right now that's his superpower. The next phase for him is him taking that out of his own head and getting it to his teammates. His voice has got to be next. He's growing. He's doing a good job of talking to his teammates more when things are dead, timeouts, dead balls, free throws. But the next phase for him is being a great communicator while the game is in flow. I think the lead guards that are at the top of our game do a really good job of communicating with their teammates while the game's in flow. So I think that's kind of where I would like Keyonte to go. There's obviously technical parts, you know, offensively and defensively, where he's shown like real promise. But I'm really focused on that part for Keyonte, because I think from day one, that's probably the thing that's impressed me the most, is his understanding of the game, how much he watches, studies basketball. Like, he's a hoop junkie. And I think it's really serving him well as far as his learning curve.
He sees it and he feels it, and it's not something that you can teach. I do think he's had a couple of really cute moments. Like, Taylor Hendricks is getting kind of his first major run recently, and Keyonte is up there. They're at the foul line, and he's pulled him aside. And Keyonte, you know, they're both 20. Mm-hmm. Keyonte, they're the same age. And Keyonte's talking to him like upper statesman, like, all right, man, you got it. And I was just like, this is adorable. I'm so into this.
Yeah,
it's cute.
He's doing a good job, but that's what I want for Keyonte. I don't care who he's talking to. Like, I would like for him to pull Jordan aside sometimes and say, hey, like, I need you to be here or here. Like, that's where Keyonte has to get to. And I think he's navigating the uncomfortable moments pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've talked to him a lot about, like, yeah, man, you're 20 and you're in theory correcting somebody who's in their 30s, but I don't care. Like, that's your job. That's your responsibility. You know, I've felt some of that myself, like being a young head coach. Like, I feel like sometimes I'm saying stuff and I'm going, like, whether it's to staff members or people in the organization or players, where, yeah, this is my job, and it's not something that I was used to until I, you know, got here. And I'm still learning and growing and how to communicate those moments, when to say something, when to not. But I think he's doing a really good job, and I love that he's kind of, that he and Taylor are forming that bond, because, mm-hmm. you know, they're two young players that we believe in a lot, and their relationship's going to be a big part of what we're doing.
I have noticed, this is kind of cute, Keyonte is like cutting off his warm-up sweats exactly like Jordan's. His hair's like Jordan's now. Like, I do see him being like kind of enamored with Jordan. Is that cute?
I mean, Jordan's cool. Like, what are you going to do?
If I could copy him, I would. If I could get my diamond teeth, I totally would.
Jordan is one of the most, like, magnetic people I've ever been around in the NBA. He's just cool. Like, I don't know how else to explain it. People like him. He's easygoing. He's easy to be around. He's easy to talk to. He's got a really engaging personality. And he's fun. I can see why Keyonte gravitates to Jordan. I think all of us gravitate to Jordan in our own ways.
Mm-hmm.
I'm for sure not going to change my haircut or my sweats to match Jordan. I don't think I can pull either of those off, but
the diamond teeth are always out there for you.
Yeah, wouldn't that be fun?
That was my favorite story.
I wonder what
people
would say about that. Actually,
remember you said I only had two rules. I told the team we have two rules.
Yeah, two rules: be on time and no jewelry at practice. And then Jordan showed up with first day of training camp with diamond teeth. So we have one rule.
One rule now.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go quick. Jordan kind of got out. He'd been in a little bit of a dip. Uh-huh. I hate to use the S word, but slumping a little bit, gets out of this dip. What do you see for Jordan the rest of this season? What do you want from him?
I just love how I feel like when he's playing his best, he's moving the ball.
Career high assists this year. He's averaging a career high assist. Yeah, he is doing well.
When he doesn't force it, he still scores plenty because the ball finds him a lot. I think that's what I would continue to push Jordan on, is like, you can score in your sleep, and the minutes you're playing and the opportunities you get with the ball, you're going to score plenty, and it's going to be easier for you, honestly, if you just continue to make the right play. And I think it's funny how some of his best scoring games, you go back and you watch it, it's also the game he probably made the, you know, the most good decisions with the ball. And when it was time to pass, he passed. And when it was time to shoot, he shot. And so I think that's where Jordan's made huge strides, in my opinion. I thought it started last year where he had the ball some at the end of games and he's closing games, but he's making great reads. I think when Jordan gets a little bit antsy and he starts to focus on scoring or worry about, man, I've missed a few in a row, I think that's when he can start to press and get himself in a bad spot. But in general, I think Jordan's played really good basketball because I think he's bought into our team moving the ball. And, you know, I think that's just all I need from him.
Speaking of moving the ball, Colin Sexton has come so far. You know, like, I sometimes in games, I'm like, oh, Pat, you know, I have this inner war with myself sometimes with Colin. He has made decisions. He is setting guys up, and, you know, in the recent win against Washington down the stretch, he's just making these great decisions that we did not see from him a year ago. How are you proud of him and his ability to get this year?
Yeah, I love Colin. He's one of the most endearing players I've ever been around. He and I's relationship has grown a lot. I think he understands what I want better than when he first got here, and I understand Colin better than when he first got here. But he's put in the work. Like, that's, it's not overly complicated. He's watched a lot of film on pick and roll. You know, our assistant coaches, Scott Morrison and Evan Brads, like, they've done an amazing job with Colin and pick and roll reads and showing him the reads and working on him live with him. And he takes place and, you know, he takes part in some of these pick and roll, sort of call them pick and roll study halls that we have a bunch of guys on the team do. And he's just put the work in. He's repped it. He's taken coaching. He's doesn't make excuses when he makes mistakes. And I think his growth in that area to me is again just proof that, like, you can always get better. And Colin's a scorer by nature. Like, I know that. He knows that. That's kind of how he got here. But because of that, he draws a lot of attention. And I think I've been really pleased to see the growth he's made, not only like initially, but you have your moments or 2 weeks where you play great and the ball is moving great. Then you have a couple games where you kind of slip and the reads aren't as clean and maybe I have some turnovers or I force a few shots that I shouldn't have taken, but I'm able to regroup, watch the film, take some coaching, do some reps, and kind of get back to playing how, you know, how I was. And I think that's the area for me where I've been really proud of Colin, is like, it's not like he just turned the corner and took off and never looked back. It's not how it works. Building new habits is hard, and he's done really, really well at, like, navigating kind of the ups and downs of that.
Yeah, it's not just that he's passing the ball. It's how and where and how he's getting guys in a position to succeed that I've been really proud of. Taylor's superpower now, where does it need to be?
He's got to play as hard as he can on every possession. I want him to crash the car going 120. Like, I don't want him to tiptoe around and try to be perfect. I want him to become kind of a wrecking ball. Like, I want him to let loose a little bit. I think he's a conscientious kid. He wants to do things the right way, which as a coach, believe me, I always appreciate. But his physical gifts, what we're trying to ask him to do defensively, there's gonna need to be a little bit of, like, reckless abandon when he plays. And I think he's had some moments that have been great, but you know, my message to him is going to continue to be for the remainder of the season, like, play harder.
John Collins, I think he's been remarkably consistent. What are you proud of? And then Walker Kessler, and I'll get you out of here.
Yeah, John. John's played so hard. The way that he pursues rebounds, the way that he deals with, you know, being a screener, a roller, and you don't always get the ball. Like, he just continues to do his job. I think obviously his versatility shooting the ball from three has helped us and him. You know, there's certain games where we ask him to roll more. There are certain games, you know, the San Antonio game against Wembanyama, we asked him to pop almost the entire game, which is maybe not natural. John's history is he's a roller first. And I think lately he's kind of become, I roll some, I pop some. I don't know if he's ever played in a way where it's like, hey, pop every time. But he's been very coachable, and he's been great at understanding situations and what we need from him to give us the best chance to win. Walker, you know, continuing his growth defensively in terms of like being a quarterback on the defensive end. You know, he's got to continue to use his voice. When you're the person in the back line of the defense, you can see everything in a way that the other guys can't. And then on the offensive side of the ball, like just continuing to find his moments of physicality. I think Walker has really good touch around the basket, and it's a balancing act of like when to use force and when to use finesse. But I think he's studying it hard, and he's worked on his pick and roll screening angles, screening reads. And so I think, you know, Walker's continuing to get better every day. You know, for him, it's about managing the expectations of like how much better you get, how quickly. Like last year, he took kind of a big leap in everybody's eyes and probably in his own eyes. He came in as a rookie and probably didn't have, I don't know what his expectations were, but you come in and it's different than coming into your second year where there are expectations. You had a good rookie year, you make Team USA, you come in your second year and you expect it to be like just another giant step forward. And that's not always how it works. But as long as you're inching your way forward and you're continuing to improve, that's all we need. There will be another big step that will come at some point, but you don't just like bound your way to being a great player. He took a big step his rookie year. Let's have this year continue to be improving. And he's dealt with some frustration early in the year. He didn't play as well as he wanted to, but he's handled it well and continues to work hard. And let's try to take this last part of the season and continue to understand that the big goal is still out there in the distance.
And 20 seconds or less, what you want the entire team to focus on for the last few weeks of the season?
Play hard and pass. It's always going to be the same message. If they do those two things, I'll always be more happy than not.
Thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks
today.
For having me.
Thank you so much. That's been The Front Row. See you again next time.